welcome everybody to church today. How are we doing? We're doing good. Awesome, awesome. Well, you guys, welcome to church. But will you join me in welcoming all of our City First Church locations that are joining us? Cape Coral, Janesville, God Behind Bars. We love you guys. Merry Christmas. Everybody, can you say Merry Christmas? You sound amazing. Well, Merry Christmas to you guys. We are so glad to have you here today. We are in the final week of our Christmas series here at City First Church called A Weary World Rejoices. And today I want to talk about how the weary world rejoices because love has come down to us. And I'll talk about more of that in a minute, but I want to take just a moment and invite everyone here that is watching back for one of our Christmas Eve services. There are a bunch of different times for you to attend at our different locations, and it's going to be an incredible time. We've been praying and planning and preparing, and it's going to be a special time. There's going to be candlelights and carols and a really hope-filled Christmas message from Pastor Jeremy. So we do hope that you will come back, and we're just praying that it is a blessing to you and your family and your friends and anyone that you bring with you. Does anybody know anybody who needs hope this Christmas season? I know a lot of people who need hope. We'll invite them to come to Christmas Eve at City First. It's going to be an incredible time, and we can't wait to see you there. Take that invite card that was on your seat and invite somebody. I know it's a little different this year, okay? If you've been at City First for a while, you know, like usually we have like a ton of different services on different days, but we're doing it a little different today, or this Christmas season. Today is a normal Sunday, and then we have our Christmas services just on Christmas Eve, so we'll see you guys then. Well, when my two older boys, Caden and Connor, they are 24 and 23 right now, but a long time ago when they were younger, they loved to tell jokes to get a laugh out of Jared and I. Anybody have littles that love to tell like cheesy, corny jokes? Yes, well, they were so cheesy and they were so corny, but they made us laugh. They were jokes like this. What do you call an elf who sings? A rapper. W-R-A-P-P-E-R. That's for you, Pastor Cameron, wherever you are at. Another one, okay, because you just can't get enough of these. Why did Santa's helper see the doctor? Because he had low elf esteem. You are welcome. Now, some of you need to take those and put those in your back pocket and share it with some of the kids in your world, and you'll get a good laugh out of it. And I know, they're cheesy. But honestly, I loved when my kids would tell jokes like that. I loved that school-aged age when my boys were little and they were younger. But that did come with some other things. My kids were very strong-willed and wild, all right? Two boys, they were crazy. And those of you who have siblings, you know this, they were best of friends, but then worst of enemies, right? And parenting at that stage was exhausting, and it was a challenge. Well, about that same time, there was a show on TV called Super Nanny. Does anybody remember the show called Super Nanny? Yes, I loved Super Nanny. Well, Super Nanny, if you're not familiar with it, what people would do, it was like kind of one of the first reality TV shows. Families would invite Super Nanny. Her name was Jo, okay? Jo, there's Super Nanny, all right? I mean, she looks like she could save the day, doesn't she? Yes, she would be welcomed into these homes, and she would help families and parents with their challenges, parenting and family challenges. And she was kind of like a modern day Mary Poppins, you could say. And I watched that show weekly because, you guys, I needed all the help I could get. And so this woman was amazing, and I liked the show for a few reasons. First of all, she had an English accent, and I really was I thought for sure, if I had an English accent, certainly my children would behave differently. But that was not the case, right? I loved her English accent, but second reason was, after I would watch each episode, I would think to myself, my children are angels. And I'm doing a pretty good job, because there were some pretty hefty things that she was dealing with. And lastly, she just had great insight. I even bought her parenting book, okay? And I referred to it many, many times. And She had a few key tips that she would share, and those would emerge like each and every episode. And one of those concepts that she shared was the importance of getting down on your child's level. She would say, listen, you gotta get down on your kid's level. And this was a revolutionary concept for me, okay? She was like, get down on your kid's level, play on their level, have fun on their level. You know, don't just always be standing up, giving directions, get down on their level. You know, get your knees dirty, get holes in your jeans. Don't just buy them that way. Get holes in your jeans by playing with your kids. engage with them, she would say. And then she would even say, correct them on their level. If you are trying to communicate something that your kids need to change, get down on their level and look them in the eye. And she knew this, that something powerful happens when you get down on the level of your child. First, being on the same level gets their attention. You're saying, look me in the eye. I got something I need to tell you. Right? And second, it helps them know that what you are communicating is meaningful and important. And lastly, it brings connection with you and your child when you get down on their level. You know, I even used this concept this week with our youngest son, Paxton. He's 13 years old. He has Down syndrome, for those of you who don't know, and he's had trouble sleeping for about the past year or two, which means this, that Jer and I have had trouble sleeping for about the last year or two. And so, which, yes, you can pray for us. We need sleep multiplication. So this week, since he's been having trouble, we had a sleep study. We did not have a sleep study. He had a sleep study. Which involved an overnight at a sleep clinic. And those of you who know Pax, okay, know this, that he's not a fan of doctors. And he's not a fan of being messed with. And this involved both of those things. A sleep study is really involved. He was hooked up to about 25 different stickers and glue and wires, literally on his legs, his arms, his back, his chest, his face, and his head. And then he was asked to sleep. Looking like a supervillain, okay, with all of these things coming off of him. And I even warned the tech. We walked in to check in, and I was like, I felt like I just had to make a disclaimer to her. Her name was Marcia. All right, I was like, Marcia, I just need you to know, we're in for a real treat tonight. This could be a really difficult night. And she was like, I'm up for it, okay, let's go. And she had him, once we were brought back to the room, there's a bed in there and a couple chairs, and she pulled out one of the chairs, and she's like, I need Pax to sit in the chair. Well, he was not going to have it, and so I slowly coaxed him, finally got him to sit in the chair, and then she started putting the wires on him, and when this was all happening, okay, if Pax is sitting here, I was not off in the corner going, good job, buddy. Way to go. You got this. I wasn't standing over him either, like just giving directions. You know where I got? Down on his level. Here's actually a picture of Pax. I was down on his level. This was just the beginning, guys. You should have seen him. He really did look like a robot by the time he was sleeping. But I got down on his level, on the floor in front of him, so that he could see my face. And I could talk with him. And I could hold his hand. And I could reassure him. I could even make him laugh, okay? And I could distract him. How many of you know parenting is just like 50% of distraction? The art of distraction. And I even had to correct him sometimes. I was like, buddy, don't pull that off. You know, don't pull that plug off. Don't touch that. Don't mess with that. Let her do that. I'm trying to help him, and he did so great. I know Pax isn't here, but you can just give him a hand clap, and like, he rocked it, you guys. We did not sleep in heavenly peace like Jesus, but we'll find out in a couple weeks kind of how it all went. But I was reminded that night about the power of getting down on his level. And I believe one of the most beautiful messages of Christmas is the picture of the God of the universe coming down to our level. That is the message of Christmas. See, the God of the universe, listen, which even the heavens cannot contain, became Emmanuel, God with us. John chapter 1, verse 14 says this, and the Word, notice the capital W there, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's talking about Jesus there. Today, I simply want to look at the grand, profound meaning of the small scripture. See, in this verse, the capital W word is Jesus. Whenever you see the capital W word in scripture, it's referring to Jesus. The word Jesus became flesh, means he became human like me and you, flesh and blood. See, Christmas means that love came down to us. Love came down to us. And why is that important? Because Jesus was God's divine message to us. Jesus was God's divine message. See, God had something he wanted to communicate. So he sent Jesus as his divine heavenly message down to our level. In the Old Testament, before Jesus, God used people and prophets and judges and priests to communicate and tell people what he wanted. Before Jesus, God's message had been told to people. Now his message through Jesus was being shown to people. It's profound. That's what Christmas is all about. The divine message was made flesh, human, dwelt among us. What the Heavenly Father wanted us to see and to hear and to grasp and to understand came down to us as one of us. Wow. He could be touched. He could be seen. He could be heard. He could be related to. Jesus got tired. Jesus got hungry. Jesus got frustrated. Jesus got weary. Human flesh like me and you. See, God's divine message came down to our level because he knew that something powerful would happen when he got down on our level. First, right? Remember Super Nanny? First, he could look us in the eye, get our attention. Second, he could communicate was an important and meaningful. Jesus coming down meant this, that God had an important and meaningful message. And lastly, we could understand that he wanted connection with us. That is the message of Christmas. Can we just pause a moment and ponder the magnitude of his coming? Not just as a human, not just as a man, but as a baby. God came in the form of a baby. The God of the universe confined to the mortal, vulnerable body of a helpless infant. Honestly, my mind cannot even comprehend it, right? The Son of God nursed by a mother. The Son of God clothed in strips of cloth by Joseph, his father, to keep warm. The God of the universe who created the sun and created fire had to be wrapped in swaddling clothes by his father to stay warm. Wow. The divine bathed and comforted and cared for and calmed by the created that he created. Wow. Before Jesus walked to the cross, he crawled to his mom. Before he proclaimed the kingdom, he learned to speak Abba or Daddy. Before the Son of God was entrusted with the act of redemption, he was entrusted to mere humans, the ones he came to redeem. See, when the shepherds and the wise men looked at the baby Jesus, I'm wondering if a part of them like actually sat back and wondered, is this kid enough? This baby, this vulnerable human baby, is he enough? Can this baby possibly really be the promised king to save us, to rescue humanity? If they only decided to look at the baby in front of them as a baby, they would have missed out on the divinity who was in front of them. And sometimes we can do the same. Is Jesus really enough? Is Jesus enough for what we carry? Is he enough for the problems that we have? Is he enough for that regret that you carry? Is he enough for the pain that you have because of that loss this year? Is he enough? And I believe this, his life resounds. Yes, he is enough. He is enough. Why? Because Colossians 1:15 says this, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Visible image of the invisible God. And I love how the Amplified Version says it this way. He, meaning Christ, is the exact likeness. Everybody say exact likeness. Exact likeness, meaning spit an image of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. Meaning when we see Jesus, we see God. When we read about Jesus in scripture, when we open up and we read in the gospels the stories of Jesus, guess what? We are seeing in the flesh the heart and the message of God. So what did God want to communicate through Jesus? What was his message? Well, there's lots of different messages, and I want to share a few of them in this moment. First of all, we could see God's compassion. Compassion when Jesus sat with the woman at the well, breaking cultural norms and calling her to a new life. We saw that God is a God of compassion when Jesus sat with her and spoke with her. We could see that God has a little bit of disdain sometimes for empty religious rules void of life. When Jesus confronted the Pharisees time after time, Jesus was like, "You guys don't get it. And I don't like it that you think it's all about religion. It's about the lists of the do's and the don'ts." Guess what? We saw God's disdain for that when Jesus was like, that's not what I'm here for. We could see God's heart for the sick and the broken when he healed the beggar, the blind beggar, when he healed the 10 lepers, when he healed when he raised from the dead the widow's son, when he healed the man who was lowered through the roof by his friends. We saw that he is concerned about the broken and the hurting. You always wondered, does God really care? Well, listen, we find in scripture that he does because of how Jesus healed the broken people. We see God's power when Jesus calmed the wind and the waves as the disciples were being thrown about in the boat. We saw his power when he literally said, "Peace be still," and everything was still. We saw God's power. We could see God's patience. How many of you are grateful for God's patience in your life? I am. We could see God's patience as Jesus daily walked with and talked with and put up with his disciples. Because, hello, just like me and you, they didn't get it all the time. In fact, sometimes Jesus was like, especially to Peter one time, was like, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But then he would still say, "Come and follow me. Come and follow me." He's patient. God is patient because we see it in Jesus. We could see God's love for all people as Jesus sat with and shared meals with and talked with the worst of sinners, scripture says. The worst of sinners. Some of you watching or in this room today, you're thinking to yourself, "I don't even know how I got in church right now. Somebody invited me and I said yes." And you're thinking to yourself, "I don't belong here." Well, guess what? You do belong here. It's written on the walls as you walked in, because guess what? No matter how you label yourself or how far gone you think you are, Jesus sat with, and by the way, Jesus didn't call them the worst of sinners. It was the religious people who called them the worst of sinners. Jesus sat with them. We see God's heart because of Jesus. We could see God's humility as Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. a God who washes feet. We could see God's grace, his grace extended as he forgave the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. We saw his grace. And then we could also see that God is our defender because of the way Jesus silenced her accusers. And then we could also see his holiness in that same situation as Jesus spoke to her, go and sin no more. So yes, he's full of grace, and yes, he's our defender, but he is also a holy God. It's a holy God. We could see God's plan to restore as Jesus prepared breakfast for Peter after his failure of denying him three times. Jesus prepares breakfast for a failure. That is a picture of our God. That's his heart. We could see God's strength as Jesus carried the cross on his back and willingly walked to Golgotha, to the place of the skull where Jesus laid down his life. We could see, I think this is beautiful, we could see God's belief in us when Jesus invited Peter to walk on the water. Right? He was like, come on, Peter, you got this. You got this. I'm with you. You can do this. Some of you are thinking right now, what God's asking me to do, I can't do. We see the heart of God when Jesus said, Peter, get out on the water. I got you. I got you. We could see God's heart of justice by how God treated women in that day and how he treated slaves and how he treated the poor of his day. We could see God's care for his people as Jesus took loaves and fishes and multiplied it and fed 15,000 men, women, and children. I want you to think about that. Why did Jesus do that? Because the people were hungry. They were hungry. He was concerned about the littlest of things. The God of the universe. Some of you think, God can't be concerned about what I'm concerned about. Well, no, he is concerned about it. Because guess what? If Jesus was concerned about the hunger of the people sitting on the hill, then he is concerned about what you are dealing with today. It's the message of Christmas. We see God's message of forgiveness and a desire for connection with us when he sent Jesus to dwell among us. We see it. It's a message of forgiveness. It's a message of connection, his desire that he wants to be with us. See, Jesus was God's message to us, and he dwelt among us. He lived among us. When you study that word dwelt, I mean, it's kind of like King James-ish, right? Dwelt or to dwell. When you look that up, it means this. There we go. It means this, to tent or encamp. To reside, as God did in the tabernacle of old, a symbol of protection and communion. God dwelt among us. In the Old Testament, pre-Jesus, the tabernacle was the portable, earthly dwelling place of God amongst the children of Israel from the time when they were taken out of Exodus and slavery in Egypt to the time when they became conquerors in the promised land. There was the portable tabernacle. It was the presence. It was the earthly presence of God. And it was a symbol of protection, meaning this, when God was near, his people were protected from their enemies. And it was a symbol of communion, meaning that God was close. So even in the Old Testament, God, listen, the Old Testament, I know it's got some crazy stuff in there, okay? But when you look at the meta theme, the overarching theme of the Old Testament, guess what? It is a message of God's constant reaching and constant, I want relationship with you. Even the fact that there was a tabernacle was like, I want to be close to you. But then guess what? New Testament happens. Jesus shows up on the scene. And it's not just being told to us or at a distance. It's in front of us. Jesus coming to earth was a clear message that God desires to be near us and have communion and close connection with us. He's not a God that stands in the corner. He's a God that came down to our level. And Jesus didn't stay a baby. He grew up. and he walked to a cross and he laid down his life to pay the penalty for your wrongdoing, for my wrongdoing, because scripture even says all have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. I have, you have. And there had to be a way made for us to have connection, and that was Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, ultimately fulfilling God's greatest message, most important message, and that is that he wants relationship with you and me. And today, this Christmas Sunday, we as a church are gonna do something special. We've got plenty of time to do this right now. We are going to take communion together as a church to remember God's divine message this Christmas. We're gonna take the cup, symbolic of the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins, and the bread, symbolic of his broken body, his body that was broken for us. Because here's the deal, listen you guys, Jesus was broken for us so that we can be fixed by him. Jesus' body was broken for us so we can be fixed by him. Does anybody here, by the sign of raised up hand, have a testimony of God putting your life back together, of Jesus putting your life back together? Amen. I am grateful that Jesus fixes us. We celebrate communion because God's divine message is that he wants communion with us. And at City First Church, we practice open communion, meaning this, is that you don't have to be a member of our church to partake today. It's just important that you've made a decision to make Jesus the Lord and Savior, the leader and the forgiver of your life. You've decided, listen, I wanna follow Jesus. And you can partake with us. You can find your communion elements. They were either in the seat back in front of you or on the seat when you walked in. And we're gonna have a worshipful moment here, okay, where the band is gonna play a song, and I'm not gonna lead you specifically in the taking of the bread and the cup. During this song, I want you to just pause, and I want you to say, God, thank you for the gift of Christmas. Thank you for what it means for me. Thank you for the symbolism of it, that the God of the universe wants connection with me. And now, here's the deal. Is anybody else running around like a chicken with your head cut off in this season right now? You got the food to prepare. You're like, some of you are excited about that. I am not excited about that. But it's crazy, right? We're busy. We got all the lists. This is your opportunity. You got 5 minutes to sit here and pause, take a deep breath and say, Jesus, thank you for what you did for me. Thank you for the meaning of Christmas. Thank you for the message of Christmas, what it means for me. And this is a sacred moment, so I'm asking that nobody leave unless it's an absolute emergency so we're not interrupting people. I still got 6 minutes left, okay? You got time. So I'm gonna pray for us and then the team is gonna sing, and during the song, you take the bread and the cup when you want to, and then just have a moment of worship. Before we go into the crazy of this week, let's pause and say thank you to Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray in these next few moments, God, that your heart would be even more revealed to us. May as we pause and take a deep breath and remember the gift of Christmas, what it means, and as we remember your broken body, as we remember your shed blood, God, we give thanks for your goodness. We give thanks for the gift of Jesus at Christmas. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. After the song, I'll come up and dismiss.
Darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Remember Jesus, So praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side. Jesus, this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. Come on, would you sing with us as we sing praise to him? So praise the Father.
Stay still for 30 more seconds. If you are in here today and you have never made that decision to make Jesus the leader and the forgiver of your life, or if you made that a long time ago and you're just like, Jen, I started living my own way again, and today you want to make a decision to rededicate your life to Jesus, if that is you today, we're going to do this. Just slip up your hand right where you're at with every head bowed and every eye closed. There's hands, a bunch of different hands. I see those hands. Today is your day. Amen. Incredible. I can't think of a better time of year to say yes to Jesus than on Christmas. And so we're going to pray together as a church so that those that are making that decision know that they are not alone in this decision. And those who are praying that prayer for the first time or rededication, I want you to know that God hears your prayer. And he is ecstatic. This is the reason he came. So everybody repeat after me. Dear Jesus, today I choose to make Jesus the Lord and Savior and leader and forgiver of my life. I receive your forgiveness for my sins. I turn from my ways and I decide to follow Jesus. Thank you for the gift of Christmas. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give those who prayed that prayer a huge hand clap.
What an incredible, incredible message this morning. I hope it was an encouragement to you. And if you made that decision to make Jesus the leader and the forgiver of your life, it is the best decision that you'll ever make.
Yes.
And so it's a life-changing decision. And so congratulations. We're celebrating with you.
Yep.
And we're just believing that God's going to walk you through this next part of your journey of faith. And so if you made that decision, maybe you're having some questions about like, hey, what's next? Now what?
Yeah.
First thing is this, let somebody know, tell somebody. If you have a family member, if you have a friend, you can let us know in the chat. We have pastors that would love to come alongside you and just be able to help you begin to navigate this new relationship that you've started. Second thing is this, is there's a QR code on your screen. It's still a resource. It's called New Beginning. And it answers some questions for you. One, you know, where do I begin to read in the Bible? Two, how do I pray? Three, what's next? Like, it just begins to answer some of those basic questions that would help you continue to grow in your journey of faith.
That's right. Another thing that we want to encourage you to do is to be a part of Growth Track. The nice part about Growth Track online is you can do it at your own pace. So no matter what your life looks like, you can fit it in. And Growth Track, it's just designed to help you discover your God-given gifts and how to use those to grow in relationship with Him, but also to make a difference. And so if you want to be a part of Growth Track, you can go on the app, go on the website, and sign up today.
Absolutely. And maybe you're going through something now and you say, hey, I would love for someone to pray with me. We have teams that are praying constantly. And so we'd love to have someone just come alongside and pray with you. And so if that's you and you have a prayer request, you can simply let us know in the chat. Or there are a couple other ways that are super easy is on the website or on our app. On the app, there's a space where you can put in that prayer request. We'd love to just come alongside, pray with you. Maybe you're celebrating something that God's done. God's done some amazing things. We'd love to hear about that too and just see what's going on there. And then one quick reminder before we let you go today. Is next week, December 29th, is online only. Do not come to one of the physical locations. We will not be here. It'll be online only as we look back and reflect on what God has done in 2024.
That's right. Well, we love you guys. We hope to see you at our Christmas Eve services. If you're able to come to a physical location, we'd love to see you, or tune in online, gather your family, gather your friends, because it's going to be an impactful service that you won't want to miss. Well, we love you guys, and we hope you have an incredible week. We will see you next time.